Daf Yudalef and Brachos. We begin the Mishnah on the bottom of Yud Amud Beis. The Mishnah so far on Masechta Brachos in the first parak have dealt with the questions of when to say Shema. The first Mishnah talked about when to say Shema Shel Maariv, and the next Mishnah talked about when to say Shema Shel Shachrit. So now we did cover the question of when. The next question that is up for discussion is the question of how. How do you say Shema? What does that mean? How? Meaning what body? What position of body? What position should your body be in when we start with the Shema? Mishnah starts off, Beishamai Ormen Be'erv Kol Adam Yate V'yikra U'vavoker Yamod She'nemar B'shach B'chav Kamecha. So we start off with the opinion of Beishamai, and Beishamai says, well, we follow the Pasuk. The same Pasuk that told us when we should be saying Shema, the Pasuk of B'shach B'chav, when you get up. So we talked about how that is in the morning, subject to a discussion in the Mishnah, exactly when in the morning, but in the morning is the time to say Shema, that's when you say Shema. So from that very same pasuk, Beit Shammai says, it's the same thing in terms of how to say Shema. B'shach b'cha means you have to be up. And uv kumecha, when you lie down. So Beit Shammai says same thing. Not only does it tell us when you have to say Shema, but it also tells us how to say Shema. B'shach b'cha, you have to be lying down. So when you're saying the Shema Shel Maariv, you have to be lying down. When you say the Shema Shel Shachris, you have to be standing up. That is the opinion of Beit Shammai. Beis Hillel Amrim Kol Adam Kor Kedarko. No, Beis Hillel says you read however you want to read. Shenamar V'Lechcha V'Derech, because the pasuk says that when you're saying Shema, you're on your way. Im Kein Lama Namar V'Shach B'Chav Kamecha. So good. So then, what do we learn out from the pasuk V'Shach B'Chav Kamecha? B'Shach Menei Adam Shochem V'Shach Menei Adam Omdim. Beis Hillel says the pasuk of Shach Mecha Uv Kamecha is telling us the time when to say Shema, but it does not at all address the question of how to say Shema. In fact, the pasuk of V'lechcha v'derech tells us that you can be saying Shema in any position, even while walking. Rabbi Tarfon says that I was once walking on the way, and I stopped to recline because it was getting towards the evening. And I wanted to follow the opinion of Beit Shammai. V'sikanti ba'atzmi, and I injured myself, I harmed myself, or it sounds like he was about to get injured. And the rabbis responded very sharply to Rabbi Tarfon, and they said, good, you deserved it. You were following the opinion of Beit Shammai, not the opinion of Beit Hillel. Beit Shammai's position is an outside position. It's not an accepted position. And so they said to him, somewhat rough, good, you deserved it. We'll talk more about that a little bit later on. The Gemara starts off on the top of Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Beis Shammai Beis Hillel coming from Shittai Ma'av Tam de Beis Shammai. Look, Beis Hillel both explained his position and the position of Beis Shammai. El Beis Shammai my time alam or Beis Hillel. So, but why doesn't Beis Shammai hold like Beis Hillel? Amar lach Beis Shammai imkei nimakra baboker uva'erev. If the Torah wanted to just talk about when to say Shema, the Torah would use terms of boker uva'erev. My b'shach b'chav kamecha. Why does the Torah say specifically not just when but how? So b'shach shchiva mamish b'shach kima kima mamish, because the Torah is trying to tell us two things: not just when to say Shema, but also how to say Shema. That's the opinion of Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai have lachcha v'derech ma'avilei. So the Gemara says now, good. So now that we have a better understanding of Beit Shammai, but there is a pasuk of Lech Techa V'Derech, what do we learn out from the pasuk of Lech Techa V'Derech? So the Gemara says, for that we have a braisa. The Torah says you have to say Shema when you're sitting in your house, meaning when you're doing nothing, so then you say Shema. But if you are oseg b'mitzvah, if you're involved in a mitzvah, so then you're going to be exempt from saying the Shema. We are now touching on one of the most major issues that comes up in the Gemara of Oseg B'mitzvah, that if you're involved in the mitzvah, potter in the mitzvah, you're going to be exempt from doing other mitzvahs as well. V'lechtecha v'derech, continuing the Gemara, and what do we learn now from V'lechtecha v'derech is prat lechasan. That excludes the chasan from having to say Kriya Shema. The chasan, the night of his wedding, the night he's going to get married, even though he may have time to say Shema, he's exempt. He's exempt from saying Shema. Mikan Amru, according to the Basula Pater, there's Aman Achayev. Now they said, meaning the Chachamim, recording another member of the Chachamim, that if you marry a Basula, so you're going to be exempt from Kriya Shema. But if you're going to be marrying an Amana, a widow, so you'll be Chayev. The difference between the two of them we'll explore in just a moment. My Mashma, now how do we see from these Psukim, where in the Psukim is it indicated this idea of Oseg B'mitzvah Patur Min HaMitzvah? So Amar Papa Ki Derech, because look, let's go back to the Pasuk, let's analyze the Pasuk a little bit more. It says, while you're on your way, Ki Derech, just like when you're on the way, Ma Derech Rishus. Now when you're going on a journey, you're not going for any specific mitzvah. The assumption is that you're just simply going because you want to go. Afkol Rishus. So then that means that anytime that you're doing something not mitzvah-oriented, are you obligated to say Shema? But once you're doing something which is mitzvah-oriented, so then you are going to be exempt from saying Shema. The Gemara realizes right away that that's an assumption. So that's an assumption, meaning maybe the Torah is describing of Lechcha v'derech where you're going to do a mitzvah. You're en route to do a mitzvah. And still the Torah demands of you to stop the mitzvah that you're currently engaged in and stop and say Shema. So, im kein lechtecha b'shevetz v'leches. May b'shevtecha v'lechtecha b'shevet ditcha v'lechet ditcha. Hu d'mechayavta ha d'mitzvah petiret. So the Gemara says it specifically from the language of v'lechtecha, your journey, u'v'shach b'cha, your lying down. So it's from those. It's from the possessive meaning. It's when you're doing something for you, then you're going to be obligated. But you're already doing something not for you, i.e., you're doing a mitzvah. So then you're going to be exempt. So now the Gemara goes back and says, okay, good. So now we have this rule generated of oseg b'mitzvah patur min mitzvah. Now the Gemara says, but let me ask a simple question. Now, earlier we said that if you're marrying a besula, so you're going to be exempt from saying Shema that night. If you're marrying an almana, you won't be exempt. The Gemara asks the obvious question, what's the difference? So the Gemara says, Nami, high tarid v'high lo tarid. So the Gemara says, well, in one case you're tarid, in the other case you're not tarid. Tarid over here doesn't, tarid means that you're going to be preoccupied in thought. You won't be able to have kavana when you're saying your Shema, because you're going to be preoccupied. Now, what's the difference between a besula and a mana? A besula, you're going to be preoccupied. What's the preoccupation of a besula? So if you take a look at Rashi says, Shataras b'machshavas b'ilas mitzvah. So by the besula, so you have b'ilas mitzvah. Now, of course, when you marry an amana as well, so there's a mitzvah for the husband and wife to engage in bia, but in other words, by the besula, there's this extra inyan that you have to break the besulim. It's part of the be'ilas mitzvah. So in other words, there's more stress, there's more in his mind by the besulim than there's by the almana, and so therefore that stress, which will detract from his kavanah, will exempt him from having to say Kriya Shema that evening. So stress is all you need to exempt yourself from a mitzvah. So let's say you have a boat, which is your boat, which has your goods on it. So your business now is riding on that boat, quite literally. And let's say that boat goes down. So now you want to tell me, you just received the news that the boat goes down. And now it's time to say Kriya Shema. So now you tell me that because your stress levels are high, you're going to be exempt from Shema. V'chitei machanami, and the Gemara makes a suggestion, well, perhaps maybe that's correct. So Allah ma'abriya amirabi abba barzavda amirav alvel chayav b'chol ha'mitzvot ha'murz b'torah. So it cannot be that stresses in life are going to be exempting you from doing mitzvahs. An avel, a mourner, someone who has lost one of his shiva krovim, seven immediate relatives, father, mother, sister, brother, unmarried sister, brother, son, daughter, or spouse. So he will be obligated in all the mitzvahs of the Torah. Chutz mina tefillin, shari nemar behen pair. Except for tefillin, by tefillin the pasuk in Yecheskel describes them as being a pair, as being a crown, being something which is gloried. Because it says, the pasuk says, that you're supposed to wear your pe'er upon you. So, well, the difference is as follows. That over there, you're being toreid, tir de mitzvah. The difference is that by the tefillin, so tefillin is tir de mitzvah, But the Sfinah Bayam is only tiered to the Rishas. So when you're involved in a mitzvah or stressing about a mitzvah, so then you are going to you're going to be exempt from doing a mitzvah. But if you're just stressing over life stresses but not mitzvah stresses, so then you're not going to be exempt from doing a mitzvah. Ad kan, let's just go a little bit more in the Gemara, just finish up the Gemara, Beis Shammai. Now, all this, the entire Gemara, the last 15 lines of the Gemara, all were explaining what is the need, what is the purpose of lechtecha v'derech v'shach lechtecha v'derech according to Beis Hillel. And the Gemara expresses that the lechtecha v'derech, according to Beis Hillel, is to convey the concept of oseg b'mitzvah patur min mitzvah, that if you're involved in one mitzvah, you're going to be exempt from doing another mitzvah. Oh, Beit Shammai. Now, Beit Shammai, what is he going to tell you? Homi ba'i le'prat l'shulchei mitzvah. That exempts shulchei mitzvah if you're on the journey to do a mitzvah, a messenger to do a mitzvah, you're going to be exempt from other mitzvahs. So, Beit Hillel, mi'me'el shma min adem, filo b'derech namikari. So, and Beis Hillel will tell you, what do you mean? That's, it's self-evident that even when you're on the journey, you're going to have to read Kriya Shema. Okay. Let's just take a moment to pause for a second. A couple things in the Gemara over here. Number one, Tosfos, Tosfos, top Tosfos on the Amud quotes Rashi. It says regarding a Avel that an Avel is going to be exempt from wearing tefillin, but he'll be obligated in all the other mitzvahs in the Torah, meaning despite the fact that he's a Torah, that he's, of course, he's very upset and very distressed over the loss of a close relative, but nevertheless, he's going to be obligated in all the mitzvahs of the Torah, the only exception being that of the mitzvah of tefillin. So Tosfos points out, Perash Rashi, Va'ava Mu'la Ba'afar Karno, Ve'in Na'a La'seis Pe'er Tacha Sefer. A Avel is rolling around in the dirt. He has dirt all over himself. He has dirt on his head. And it's just not appropriate to put the pair, the crown, and the crown over here is a reference to the tefillin, on top of the ashes. V'im tomer avalam lihai taya tepeleg medam lecheska percha chavush alecha mechlal delu kolei ameasor. So the Gemara wants to know what's wrong with the given reason given in Moikatan. The Gemara in Moikatan talks about a Avel being exempt from wearing tefillin, and the Gemara over there says that the reason why we know that an Avel is exempt from putting on tefillin is based on the pasuk Yecheskel. Yecheskel, who becomes an Avel, but he is told, despite the fact that all Avelim don't wear tefillin, the pasuk says to Yecheskel, the Navi, the Hashem says to Yecheskel, you need to wear tefillin. So we know from Yecheskel that because he was told, which was out of the norm, to wear tefillin. So therefore, we know that we have a general exemption not to wear tefillin. So why does Rashi give what seems to be another reason in terms of why an Avel is pater from tefillin? The Teretz HaSar Mikutzi, so Tosfos quotes the Sar Mikutzi, I believe we quoted him just recently in a previous daf. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you need Rashi, because if it were just for that reason of Percha Chavush Alecha, so then you could have created a very good Kal Vachomer. If an Avel is exempt from the mitzvah of tefillin, which is a mitzvah, let's say, a positive commandment, an extraordinarily significant positive commandment, the Gemara yesterday talked about the importance of tefillin. Kadosh Baruch Hu wears a pair of tefillin. So you see that tefillin is such an important mitzvah, and an Avel is exempt from tefillin. So maybe you could have made the argument that an Avel is going to be exempt from all other mitzvahs as well. Comes along Rashi to say, no, it's something specific to tefillin. Tefillin is a pair, tefillin is a crown. And an Avel, being that he's rolling around the dirt, should not be wearing the crown. But that reason only applies specifically to tefillin, to nothing else. Inami Tosfos goes on to say, "Tzarich time of the Rashi lechayva betulin la'archa yom rishon, de'lo shayach meulal be'efer karno ela b'yom rishon dafka." Another reason why we need Rashi's explanation explains the Sar Mikutzi, or this could just simply be the Balei Tosfos giving the second reason, is because if it were just from the pasuk regarding Yecheskel, I might have thought that the p'tur of wearing tefillin is a p'tur that would apply for all 7 days of Avelus, but that's not true. That's not the case. The p'tur of tefillin is only for day one. So because the p'tur is only for day one, and how do I know that's only for day one? Well, that's based on Rashi. Rashi says because an Avel is rolling around in the dirt and has ashes on his forehead. That's only day one, says Tosfos. Presumably, what Tosfos means by that is that's the day where he most acutely feels the loss. That's the day where he's literally rolling and tormented with the loss. So on that day, it's not appropriate to put on tefillin. But after that first day, so then there's an obligation even for an Avel to put on tefillin. This is the accepted halacha, that the p'tur of wearing tefillin for an Avel is only for day one. After day one, the Avel puts on tefillin for the remaining days of Avelus. That's point number one. Point number two is the following. The Gemara introduces us to the rule of Osik b'mitzvah patam in a mitzvah. The person is obligated in a mitzvah, so he's going to be exempt from doing other mitzvahs. There's a Tosfos in Sukkah and Daf Chav Hey Amud Aleph that Tosfos points out over there, that it's hard to take this rule so literally, meaning Tosfos asks the obvious question. Let's say you're wearing your tzitzis and you have your tefillin on your head. So now you're osik b'mitzvah, you're involved in doing a mitzvah. So now can we not say that since you're osik b'mitzvah, so therefore you not have to do any other mitzvahs because you're osik b'mitzvah and the rule is osik b'mitzvah, patur min mitzvah? Good, that's the question that Tosfos asks. And the answer, which is intuitive, but Tosfos says it straight out, is that only when the second mitzvah is going to interrupt the performance of the first mitzvah is the person going to be exempt from that second mitzvah. If, however, one could do both, and the second mitzvah will present no interference to the first mitzvah, so then you're required to do both. So, wearing your tefillin and wearing a pair of tzitzis, so that's not going to interrupt you from doing any other mitzvah. It's good. Now that's kind of like in the background, and now you're free and clear to do other mitzvahs. So you have no exemption. You have to do other mitzvahs, even though you're wearing tefillin and tzitzis. That is the question and answer provided by Tosfos. There's more to this topic. There's more discussion on this topic. There's a Ron over there in Sukkah as well. You can see over there for more discussion. The Ron seems to be learning Osek Ben Mitzvah a little bit differently than Tosfos. But anyway, okay. We're going to go on in the Gemara. We're going to continue at the two dots. Tana Rabbanan. Beis Olamim Omdim Bekorim Yoshvin Bekorim Umatim Bekorim Hochim Baderch Bekorim. So Beis Olam says you read any which way you want. You could read standing up, you could read sitting down, you could read while reclining, you could walk and read your Kriya Shema. Osim b'malach tov v'korin while you're working, you could read your Kriya Shema, Maisa Rabbi Yishmael v'Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Yisham, Maisa b'malach mecha v'ayah Rabbi Yishmael Muteh, v'Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Zakov. So as they were walking to a particular location, so Rabbi Yishmael was reclining, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was standing up. Came and she gives man Kriya Shema. But now, when it came time for Kriya Shema, he to Rabbi Lazar v'Zakov, so Rabbi Lazar now stood up, and Rabbi Yishmael Amar Lo. I'm sorry. He to Rabbi Lazar reclined, v'Zakov Rabbi Yishmael, and Rabbi Yishmael stood up. So Amar Lo Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Yishmael. Well, so Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah says, I don't understand your behavior at all. Yishmael Achi, Yishmael my brother. Can I give you an analogy in terms of what your behavior seems to me? Mashal lechash amram lo zekancha megudal. Right? It's like a mashal where we say zekancha megudal. Your beard is long. Amar lahem yeh keneged hamashchitin. Good. You like my beard? Beautiful. I'm going to shave it off. Afka chata kolz man shani zokavata muta. Now I don't understand. So I'm standing up and you're reclining. Achshav ke shani tasty. Now I'm reclining to say the Shema. Ata zakafta, now you're going to stand up. I'm alo, asisi kedivre beisil, v'ata asisi kedivre beishamai. So he says, well, I'll explain. So Yishmael says to back to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, explain the behavior, and I'll explain it very easily. So you are behaving like beishamai. I'm behaving like beisil. V'lo od el shema yura tamidim v'ikvo alach iladoros. Not only that, but I'm afraid that the students see me. Meaning, get into a position where only beishamai would be happy. So then the students will see me and they'll say, oh, I know why he's doing that. He's doing that because the Psak Halacha is like Beis Shammai. And I don't want the students to think that. So therefore, I go out of my way to stand to make sure that everyone knows that you don't have to recline for Kriya Shema Shel Marif. So my velo od v'chitem beis olanami yislehu matin hani mili damata v'asa mikara. Now, the low ode, what was the point of making that extra point from Rabbi Yishmael to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah? So the Gemara explains like this, because I might have thought that if you are already reclined, so then you remain reclined. Ava hacha kem da'ad hashta havizaka v'hashta muta amre ishma minake b'ishma shame sriule sriulehu shame yuro tamidim v'ikvo alach l'doros. But I was zakov, and now I'm going to go lie down. And now the students are going to see me, and they're going to say, oh my gosh, you went to go lie down. Why? Ah, specifically because Halacha is like Beis Shammai. And I don't want the students to see me and walk away with that conclusion. Now, the Gemara goes on to record, what is the accepted Halacha? So, if you go like Beis Shammai, good. If you go like Beis Hillel, fine. Rav Yosef Amar, Asa Kedivrei Beis Shammai, Lo Asa, V'lo Klum. And Rav Yosef says, no. If you go out of your way to read the Shema like Beis Shammai, so that means that in the evening, you specifically go lie down to say Shema. In the morning, you specifically go to stand up to say the Shema, so you have not fulfilled your obligation, did not. Misha Yarosh Avruba B'Sukkah V'Shechonim B'Tzoch HaBayis. We know there's a machlokis in the beginning of Masechta Sukkah about the following scenario. You're in the Sukkah. The sukkah is big enough. It's a big sukkah. You're in the sukkah. And your table that you're eating at happens to be outside the sukkah. Fine. But in other words, you yourself, your physical body's in the sukkah. So Beis Shammai posts and Beis Hillel machshirin. So Beis Shammai says that's no good. And Beis Hillel says no, that's fine. And Amr lahem Beis Hillel Beis Shammai, Ma'aseh shalchu zikne Beis Shammai zikne Beis Hillel v'akaris Rabbi Yochanan ben Acharanis mitzau shaya rosh v'ruba v'sukkah v'shulchan v'sukkah habayis. We found once where we went to go visit Rav Yochanan in a sukkah. His head and the majority of his body was in the sukkah. His table was outside. Velo amru lo klum, and there was nothing said against his action, meaning that was an acceptable action. Amru lahem, so Beis Shammai says to Beis Hillel, Misham raya afhem amru lo, im ken ha'isa noeg lo kianta mitzvah sukkah miyamecha. And Beis Shammai retorts to Beis Hillel, you're incorrect, the factually incorrect. Meaning, it's not that nobody said anything to him. Rather, Beis Shammai said specifically in that scenario, if that's the way you conduct yourself, you have not fulfilled the mitzvah of sukkah throughout your days. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Beis Shammai Chayiv Misa. Rav Nachman Yitzchak takes it one step further. So far there are now three levels. What if a person goes out of his way to pasen like Beis Shammai? So the first Amora, Tani Rav Yecheskel, says that, okay, you can do it, and it would work. Then the Gemara quoted the Amora of Rav Yosef, which says that if you read Shema that way, you have not fulfilled the mitzvah of Shema. And finally, the Rav Nachman Yitzchak, the third Amora, says, no, also kedivrei Beis Shammai chayev misa. If you do like Beis Shammai, it's not even that you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah, it's that you are chayev misa. Did not Amar Rabbi Tavan ani isi baba dechli tes akos kedivrei Beis Shammai visi kanti baks me mimnei ha'lis and Amar lo kedai isa lechuvas mecha shavrata kedivrei Beis Hillel. So we find at the end of the Mishnah that we just learned that Rabbi Tarfon says that I reclined to say the Shema like Beis Shammai. It was the Shema Shamariv, and I reclined to read like Beis Shammai. And what was the response? If that's the way you did it, sorry. And I nearly got into critical danger. I was about to be attacked by Liston, and somehow I got away from it. And they said to him, correct, meaning you deserved it. Because you went out of your way to pasken like Beis Shammai, not like Beis Hillel, so therefore you were chayav misa. Again, this misa for sure is misa b'dei shamayim. You're going to be chayav misa. Okay, so we have three degrees of to what allowance do we allow the position of Beis Shammai. Degree number one, Rav Yecheskel, is it's okay. Degree number two is Rav Yosef, which is you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah. And degree number three, which is Rav Nachman Yitzchak, which is certainly the most strongest degree, which is supported by our Mishnah, is that by following Beis Shammai, you're a chayav misa. Now, if you take a look at the middle of the second Tosus on the Amud, so Tosus over here says the following. He quotes Rav Shmaya, one of the early Bali HaTosos. So Tosus is bothered by a very simple question, meaning what was the point of the Gemara over here, quoting the machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel regarding the sukkah being in the sukkah and the table being outside the sukkah, wants to try to draw the comparison that just like in that case over there, if you didn't follow the guidelines of the Chachamim, you have not fulfilled the mitzvah of sukkah, so too over here, if you haven't read Shema in the proper position, so therefore you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah of Shema. So Rav Shmaya makes an important point, and he writes like this. The Perish HaRev Rabbeinu Shmaya, I'm right in the middle of the second Tosfos. The first words in the line is Perish. So Rav Shmaya makes a very important point, which is that even though what you did is min hadin acceptable, meaning you're sitting in the sukkah. So as far as you're concerned, did you fulfill the mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah? Sure, you sat in the sukkah. But what Beis Shammai does not want you to do is leave the table outside the sukkah, even though you're sitting in the sukkah. Why? Because when you're eating, what you may end up doing is leaning over the table. And if you lean over the table, so you're going to be outside the sukkah. So as a gzeira, as a rabbinic concern, so therefore they said that you're not allowed to set up the table that way, being outside the sukkah, for the fear that you may lean over and move your body, position your body outside the sukkah. And not only is it gzerah, but Rav Shmaya notes, and how strong gzerah is it? That according to Beit Shammai, if you don't follow this gzerah, so what the Chachamim are able to then do is remove the mitzvah of sukkah. Meaning, me'ikar hadin, did you fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah? Yes. Just happens to be that you ignored gzerah derabbanan. What the Gemara is trying to make the point is that because you didn't follow the gzerah of the Chachamim, so therefore they have the power to remove the mitzvah of sukkah. Hagam, the same thing over here by Kriya Shema. Does the Torah tell you what position to read? So according to Beis Hillel, no. Now Beis Shammai disagrees. Now, what the Gemara's point is over here is that according to Beis Hillel, if you insist on following like Beis Shammai, which is not the accepted halacha, even though me'ikar hadin, you have fulfilled the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, nevertheless, the Chachamim have the ability, it's a koach ha-chachamim, to remove the mitzvah if they didn't do it the way you wanted them to do it for whatever reason they feel they deem appropriate. So if they didn't want you reading Shema in that way and you read the Shema that way, even though me'ikar hadin, you fulfill the mitzvah, but they have the koach to uproot the mitzvah that you have done. That is what Rav Shmaya says vis-a-vis our Gemara and the comparison between the two cases, the cases of saying Kriya Shema al derech Beit Shammai according to Beis Hillel, and eating in the sukkah while the table is outside according to Beis Shammai. We continue in the Mishnah. We're on the bottom Mishnah on Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, and we start. B'shachar mevarach shtayim lefanech v'achatzar la'achareha uva'erev mevarach shtayim lefanech v'shtayim la'achareha. Good. The Arbichur is Kriya Shema, meaning that we have a mitzvah to say Shema. Shema is made up of the three paragraphs. And what the Chachamim did is that they put a mizgeret, they put a frame around Shema, a frame of brachos. In the morning, there are two brachos before Shema, and there's one bracha after Shema. And in the evening, there are two brachos before Shema, and there are two brachos after Shema. Then the Mishnah says, Achas Arucha v'Achas Ksara. Now, one bracha is long and one bracha is short. What is this referring to? So if you take a look at Rashi. First of all, take a look at the first Rashi on the Mishnah. Before I move on to this point of Arucha and Ksara, take a look at that first Rashi. Rashi says, Kedamer v'Brachas Yerushalmi. Rashi quotes the Gemara Yerushalmi, and the Sheva Brachas Halal Al Shem, Sheva Bayom Hilal Ticha. The Pasuk in Navi describes that we are going to be saying, we're going to give seven hilulim, seven praises to HaKadosh Baruch Hu every day. So now you take the three brachas of the morning, three brachas of Kriya Shema in the morning, and the four brachas of Kriya Shema in the evening, three plus four, that's seven. So that's a kiyum in Sheva Bayom Hilal Ticha. It's interesting because the brachas of Mariv are not necessarily Bayom, but in other words, Yom, I guess, in this context just simply means seven of the day, not the yom in the classic sense of daytime. In the meantime, however, good. So those are the brachos of Kriya Shema. Then the Mishnah goes on to say, Achas Arucha v'Achas Ketzara. So what's that talking about? So Rashi says, Ashtayim la'achar ad arviz kai. So Rashi offers a pshat over here that's talking about the two brachos after Maariv. There are one bracha of Emes ve'emuna, the next bracha of Hashkivenu. So one of them is going to be long and the other one is going to be short. Okay, and we know that, presumably, what Rashi refers to is that the Emes ve'emuna is going to be long and the Hashkivenu is going to be short. Take a look at Tosfos. Tosfos over here offers a different pshat in Achas Arucha v'Achas Ketzara. See Tosfos over there for a different suggestion. If you are told to be maricha bracha, so you cannot shorten it. If you're told to shorten, you cannot lengthen it. Lachtam in a rashai shalolachtam, shalolachtam in a rashai lachtam. And if you're told to make a chasima, now a chasima of a bracha is like a closing closing argument of a bracha. So in other words, when you have a long bracha, like Alamecha, for example. So Alamecha starts off with the words Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Alamecha V'Al Kalkala, and then it goes on, and then it ends Baruch Atah Hashem Alamecha V'Al Kalkala. So in other words, because it's a long bracha, so it has like a closing bracha to it. So if it's a long bracha which has a chasima, so you can't not put a chasima. In other words, it has to end with a chasima. And if it's a short bracha that doesn't have a chasima, so Rashi here in the Mishnah gives the example. Could go on birchas, a peres, a mitzvah. So we have brachas and we make over fruit. And for that matter, any of the birchas on anin. So bracha that we make over meat, shahakol, hadama, ha'etz, any of these brachas, so they don't have a chasima, nor are you allowed to put a chasima on them, because once they were set up by the chachamim without a chasima, you cannot add a chasima to it. Ma'amavarch, we start with the Gemara on the bottom of Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. What is the actual bracha? Meaning, the Mishnah does not give us a nusach habracha. So what is the actual bracha of Shema? So, Amar Rav Yaakov, Amar Rav Yoshia, Yotze Or V'Rechoshech. So here the Gemara gives us a nusach. The nusach is Yotze Or V'Rechoshech. So, Lema Yotze Or V'Renoga. So the Gemara says, okay. But that's difficult, meaning the Chachamim would make a bracha and include the word darkness in the bracha. It's a little bit difficult, meaning it's not the appropriate thing to say. A, it's not dark, it's the morning. And B, it's just choshech, it's just not a nice thing. The first Mishnah in Psachim, Or La'arba Asar. Now we know that Or La'arba Asar, what is that referring to? The night. The night of the 14th, where the first parak of Psachim talks about the mitzvah of Bedikas Chametz. So there, instead of using the word Laila Sarba Asar or Erev Arba Asar, the Mishnah uses the word Or, and that usage of language is certainly Saginaur. In other words, that's not meant to be taken literally. It means Or over there means night. It's spoken euphemistically. So, and why? So because it's not appropriate that the first word of a Masechta should be Choshech, meaning we're much more interested in Or than we are in Choshech. So to which the Gemara over here is bothered by a similar question. When establishing what the bracha is in the morning, so why do we say Yotze Or Uvarei Choshech? Kadosh Baruch Hu creates darkness, meaning it's true, but why are we mentioning Choshech should just not simply be left out? Or, what the Gemara makes a suggestion is not left out, but just modified. You should say Yotze Or Uvarei Noga. So Kidichsiv Kamrina, so to the, which the Gemara answers, yeah, but that's what the Pasuk says. Meaning what we're doing over here is we're actually referencing the Pasuk in Yeshayahu. In Perek Mem Hei of Yeshayahu, the Pasuk actually says, Yotze Or Uvarei Choshech, so we're just basically setting up the Pasuk as the Pesukim read in the Navi. Elamiyato, Se Shalom Uvarei Ra, Mi Ke'amrinan Kidechsev, yeah, but then the Nusach of that Bracha, the first Bracha of Kriya Shema, Yotze Or Uvarei Choshech, Ose Shalom, and what do we say? Uvarei Esakol. But that's not what the Pasuk says. The Pasuk says Uvarei Ra, because Baruch Hu creates Ra. He creates evil in this world. Creates the Yetzirah. So, but the question is now very simple. So if we are following the Pasuk, so why not follow the conclusion of the Pasuk as well? So Elak Sivrab the Karinan Hakol Lishna Ma'alya Khanami Lemanoka Lishna Ma'alya. So you know that we're changing the word Ran to Hakol, so that we're using a nicer language when saying the end of the bracha. So now that we have poetic license to change in order to create a Lishna Ma'alya, so why not use that same poetic license to change the beginning of the bracha and not say Yotze Or Uvarei Choshech, but rather Yotze Or Uvarei Noga. So Alam Ravik Delaskir Midas Yom Balayla Midas Laila Bayom. So Ravik says, because even in the morning, you want to mention the night, even though it's the morning, and even though fundamentally, primarily, it's a bircha shachar, it's a bracha of the morning, and therefore we want to talk about Or. But there's still an inyan to talk about Choshech as well, not to ignore the fact that there's also Choshech. And at night, same story, meaning it's fundamentally, it's primarily a bracha for the night, and we're going to talk about the night, but we also don't want to ignore the fact that it's day as well. Now, Bishlam Alayla Bayom Kedarmin and Yotze Or Uvarei Choshech. Now, the mentioning of night during the day, that's self-evident. It says, Yotze Or Uvarei Choshech. Elamidas Yom Alayla Eich Mishkachala. But where do we have this idea of mentioning Midas Yom at the night? Where in the brachas of Shema at night do we talk about the day? So, Amar Abayi go like, Or, Mipnei Choshech, Vechoshech, Mipnei Or. Good. So the Gemara looks through the Nusach and finds in the Nusach the mentioning of day, even in the brachos of night. V'irach Ma'i, Amar Avihun, Amar Shmuel, Aver Abba. Now, we already explained now what the first bracha of Kriya Shema is. It's the bracha of Yotze Or. Okay, good. Now we want to know what's the next bracha of Kriya Shema. So the Gemara gives two nuschos. The Gemara says it's either going to be Avaraba, v'chinor le Rabbi Lazar, le Rabbi Padas, berei Avaraba, tanya me'achi inomrim avas olam ela Avaraba, v'rabbanan amre avas olam v'chinor omre v'avas olam ahavticha al kain mishach tich chasen. So as a machlok is in the Gemara, whether you should say Avaraba or avas olam. Okay, and the differences between Avaraba and Avas Olam, unclear what the subtle differences are between the two. Tosos notes the Minhag Ashkenaz is we do both. In the morning we say Avaraba, and in the evening we say Avas Olam, in order to be Mekayim both Nuschos as presented to us in the Gemara. The Nusach Sfard and the Sfardim, so they say Avas Olam both in the morning and in the evening. I'm Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Ishkem Lashanos Ashlo Karo Kriya Shema Tzarech Levarech. Let's say you wake up early to learn in the morning and you haven't yet said your Kriya Shema, which means that you haven't said the Birchas Kriya Shema. So you need to make a bracha, meaning here Birchas HaTorah. Meaning that before learning every day, so there's the Birchas HaTorah. The Gemara later on will speak about it more fundamentally. The Gemara over here already assumes that we know there's such a thing as Birchas HaTorah. So the Gemara over here is treating us to a halacha that if you start learning before you daven and you haven't said Ava Rabba yet, so therefore you should say Birchas HaTorah. Misha Kara Kriya Shema, but once you said Kriya Shema, which means that you've also said Birchas HaTorah, I'm sorry, that you said the Birchas of Kriya Shema, Ain tzarich lavarech shekvar niftar ba'ava rabba. So the Gemara introduces us to a concept, which is the second bracha of Kriya Shema, the bracha of Ava Rabba, also can double as Birchas HaTorah. It could serve as Birchas Kriya Shema. Sorry, it primarily serves as Birchas Kriya Shema, and then it could also, you could double dip with it, and you could also use it as Birchas HaTorah. Now, when do you have to say Birchas HaTorah? So the Gemara, interestingly enough, tells us, to machlokas amongst the Amaraim, when you need to say Birchas Torah, over what type of Limud HaTorah requires Birchas HaTorah. So, for Rav Huna says that for Mikra, you need, Mikra meaning Chumash, but for Medrash, you don't need. Rav Elazar disagrees. He says that for Chumash and for Medrash you do, but for Mishnah you do not. Rav Yochanan disagrees and says that you need to make a Birchas HaTorah over Mishnah as well. Aval Talmud in Tzarech Levarech. But Talmud, that no. Rav Amar Af L'Talmud Tzarech Levarech. And Rav says no. That even for Talmud, you need to make a bircha of Kriya Shema. Amar Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, Zimnin Segin Avikim, Nakama de Rav, Lesnuin Pirkin Besifra, Debe Rav. So many times I was with Rav, and he was teaching us Pirkin Besifra, Debe Rav, and Have Maktim Vikamashi Yadeh. So what he would do is he would wake up early in the morning, he would first wash his hands, Ubarech, and he would make Birchas HaTorah, Umasnilan Pirkin, and he would teach us a parak of Talmud, or whatever Sifra de Beirav may be. But in other words, you have to make a bracha before learning not just Chumash and not just Medrash, but Mishnah and Talmud as well. If you remember, this goes back to a couple of days ago where we had a machlokas between Rashi and Tosos. Rashi was of the opinion that if you wake up, you should do nothing before you daven. Meaning the Gemara says that you shouldn't eat before you daven, and Rashi says not only should you not eat before you daven, you shouldn't learn before you daven as well. So is the opinion of Rashi. If you recall, Tosos was very unhappy with this opinion of Rashi, and in fact, if you remember, one of Tosos's proof that this is not the accepted halachic position is based on the Gemara that we're learning right now, because Rav learned before he daven. So since Rav learned before he daven, it is clear that you're allowed to learn before you daven. So this goes back to Rashi and Tosfos on Hey Amud Beis. If you take a look back at the Tosfos, so Raya, I'm just rereading Tosfos, we read this back on Daf Hey, Deshar Lomo Kodem De Lakaman Beperek Sheni Amrina De Rav Matim Umashi Yadei Umavarech Umasti Perek Bekara Kriyashma Kimatas Man Kriyashma. Good. So you see that Rav did this, that he learned even before he davened. Good. Important Tosfos over here on this Amud. Tosfos, the big Tosfos over here. Tosfos, first of all, talks about the nature of the second bracha of Kriyas Shema Avraham serving as Birchas HaTorah. Take a look. We'll start not at the beginning of Tosfos, but the Heishiv Ri, the low kaimalan kaosi yushami hol the gemara shalom lo amru ve ein sarach la alta lomot va oda filu lefia yushami davka avaraba the la the ikar bracha le bircha satar the ikar avaraba le kriyashma nitka. So Tosfos over here quotes the name of the Ri that fundamentally avaraba was established for kriyashma, meaning it is not a bircha satora bracha, it is fundamentally a kriyashma bracha. Dekar rabba rabba le kriyashma nitka vishvil he ainu nifter me bircha satora. Ella im yomod miyad v'gam lo yase hesachadas. Now, Tosfos says because of this, so because it fundamentally is not a birchas haTorah bracha, so that means that if you want to use it as a birchas haTorah bracha, so you have to learn immediately after Avraham. Now, when I say immediately after Avraham, please understand that immediately after Avraham you have to say Shema. And then after you say Shema, you have to say Emes V'Yatziv. And after that, you have to say Shmona Esrei. And presumably, then you also have to finish davening as well. But, right, all that's understood. But what Tosfos means is that right after davening is over, so because you're using your Avaraba Bracha as a Birchas HaTorah, so therefore, don't go to work, but at that point in time, you must go and learn right away. So that it's understood that you're double dipping, that you're using the Avaraba as a Birchas HaTorah. Ava Birchas HaShem Bracha Banu, Birchas Lasak B'divay Torah, Shein Eikel Birchas HaTorah, Patoros Kol Yom. But the fundamental bracha Birchas HaTorah, which we haven't yet got introduced to in the Gemara, that's coming up in just a moment. But the Iker Birchas HaTorah, the bracha of Asher Bracha Banu, and the bracha of Lasok B'Torah, that is fundamentally a Birchas HaTorah. You say that, that covers you for the whole day. Meaning you don't have to learn immediately after you say those brachos, because now you have said the Birchas HaTorah. To which now, the Tosfos continues and raises a fundamental issue. Vim tomer maisha maishna misuka shesarach levarcha kol seuda u seuda leishe basoka. Now, Tosfos is bothered. In other words, we're going to have a very basic birchas and mitzvah discussion. Right? I have a mitzvah thing in the sukkah during the 7 days of sukkah. So, I go and I sit in the sukkah. Now, prior to my yeshiva by sukkah, so I make a leishe basoka. Now, I leave the sukkah, and later that day I come back in. So, what do I have to do? Make a new birchas leishe basoka. Good. Why? Because me exiting the sukkah and doing other things, so that constitutes a hafsek. So, I got to go back and make a new birchas on leishiva basoka, on a leishe basoka. So, Tosfos wonders, so I understand by learning, shouldn't it be the same? Meaning, you learn a little bit in the morning, after your birchas haTorah, or after your avaraba. And then you go to work. So now, when you go back to learn later that day, so shouldn't you make a new birchas haTorah? Shouldn't it function the same way that the birchas and mitzvah of leishah besukah function? As far as the mitzvah of limud haTorah is concerned, it's like, says Tosfos, the analogy is, it's like you're singing the sukkah the whole day. Meaning, there is a constant obligation for a person to be engaged in the study of Torah. And even though he may be distracted for a moment or two from, or even for more than a moment or two, but even if he's distracted a little bit from the Limud haTorah, but that still doesn't remove the obligation of the Limud haTorah. And because the obligation of Limud haTorah is ever present, and he quotes the Pasuk in Yehoshua, V'higisa bo yomam v'layla, so therefore there is no such thing as a Hesach Hadas from Torah, and so therefore when you make the Birchas haTorah, it's going to cover you for the whole day, even if you quote-unquote were mafsik from Limud haTorah, but that's not a real hafsek. Eating in the sukkah, however, it's not the same. In other words, it's a specific time to eating in the sukkah. It's when it's meal time. So when you get up from the meal, when you leave the sukkah, so that is an actual hafsek. Okay, and then Tosfos, there's more of Tosfos, which I would like to do. We're not going to do bracha of sleeping in the sukkah. Okay, we're going to go on in the Gemara. We're going to get to the two dots. Back to the Gemara. my mevarech. What is the bracha? Am Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. The Gemara now is looking for the nusach of birchas haTorah. Asher kedushan mitzvot tzavos yivan la'asok b'divrei Torah. Rav Yochanan Misayim Bahachi, Rav Nashem Elokeinu es divrei sarasecha befinu v'fifios amcha beis Yisrael v'ni anachnu v'tzatzeinu v'tzatzei amcha beis Yisrael kolin d'shmecha v'oskei sarasecha b'ruchat Hashem amalamei Torah la'amo Yisrael. Rav Amunu Amar Asher b'chabani mikol amim nasalanu Torah so b'ruchat Hashem nosin haTorah. So the Gemara gives us, now it's a machlokas how to count this, two brachas or three brachas. But in the meantime, however, the Gemara gives us basically the entire nusach of Birchas HaTorah. But the Gemara, however, does not actually lump them all together. These are different nuschaos of the bracha according to various Amarim. Amar Rav Hamanun Zuhi Melusha B'brachos. Rav Hamanun says this is the ma'ula of the brachos. Hilkach Lememeno L'kula. So, we should say all of them. Meaning, we should say all these brachos of Birchas HaTorah. The ones that are mentioned, which of course is what we do, we say like all of these brachos. Okay, well, we'll stop over here and we will pick up on Daf Yud Beis with the quoting of the Mishnah in Masechta Tamid.